Hey everyone, this is a special quarantine mini. This is a Meet the Authors edition. We're here with Bob Fingerman. Bob, how are you?
Hello, I'm very well. I'm going to spare us all the caveats. I'm just actually very well today.
That's great. Yeah. No caveats, just good. That's what I like to hear.
I'm bucking the trend.
We introduced you last week, of course. Bob is a prolific he's an author and an artist. Do you call yourself an artist? I just don't want to step on any. I don't know how do you call yourself an illustrator?
I am much more comfortable with cartoonist. I think that's okay, a nice.
Cartoonist. I didn't want to, if that's a pejorative or so, which I don't think it is, but okay, cartoonist.
Yeah.
He's worked for Cracked and Mad. How many people can say that?
Guess which one I'm prouder of.
I have to say, you guys talked last week. I was not able to make it last week. That's unfortunate. I heard you had
that was unfortunate.
I was one of those who it wasn't like Oreo and Hydrox for me with the Cracked and Mad. I was kind of like, Cracked is, since the Mads are all sold out, I mean, I don't know. It's okay. I would put it more at like 80%. You're going to have, so, I felt pretty good about both of them, actually.
Which car rental company was it, which was number two, So We Try Harder? So
yes, that's right.
It's either Hertz or Avis. But Cracked was the whichever to Mad's superior version. Yeah.
Now, in my family, Oreos, no. Hydrox, what do you think we are, millionaires? I had like wagon wheel brand Choco cookies or something. We were lucky.
Made of genuine chalk.
Yes. Bob has done a portrait of, and I think you should be seeing it on the screen there, of our guest author today. I'm very excited to meet this lady. She is, let me bring her into the conversation here. This is Harmony Craftlove. And Harmony, are you there?
Yes. Hello, darling. It's great to be here with you and Mr. Fingerman.
It's delightful to meet you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. You mentioned the wagon wheel brand of chocolate cookies.
Yes. Yes, I did. Have you enjoyed those?
I used to buy them at the halal butcher shop that I live above in Flatbush. But
they serve them at the halal? Really?
Yes.
The halal butcher shop.
They, unlike your Hydrox or your Oreo, they do not contain any animal products. And that was something that I was pleased to learn about.
That I don't think that was a concern of my parents, to be honest with you, Harmony, but I'm glad to know it in retrospect.
Oh, yes. Well, we must do what we can in these trying times.
Harmony, you have a disturbing feedback on your mic. Are you too close to it right now?
It could have been one of the cats. I apologize for that.
That's better. That's better if you're backing off like that.
Okay. Well, yes. They trot across my desk, but they are my loved ones, and I will do my best to keep them away from the microphone.
Harmony, I have a couple questions for you, and I'm sure Bob does as well.
Please.
He's the one who did your portrait, so you probably know him already.
Of course.
You live in Flatbush, Brooklyn, right?
I do.
Where your accent is unusual, I have to say. Where did you? What is your? Where do you come from? Do you mind me asking that? I'm sorry.
Well, yes, I've been a Brooklynite my entire life, and I guess you could say that it was cultivated from my beloved parents. May their souls rest in peace.
May they indeed. That's so good. You have what we used to call a mid-Atlantic accent.
Well, you don't get much more mid-Atlantic than Brooklyn, New York.
And your age, you're only 34. The mid-Atlantic accent, I put that as like, Katharine Hepburn, who I think would be 115 were she alive today.
Yeah, well, that I've always considered myself. I've been told by my parents and their friends that I am an old soul.
Boy, you certainly sound like one. Bob, questions for her? I'm going to look over her biography here. We'll get to your books in just a moment. I'm just fascinated by your life.
It's been quite a ride, Mr. Fingerman. It's a pleasure to talk to you again.
Oh, so nice to talk to you, Harmony. Or do you prefer a more form? Your voice is so patrician. I feel I should address you as Ms. Craftlove.
Well, that would be appropriate ever since the divorce. That has been my preferred last name. Subjunctive.
So was Kraftlove then your maiden name, to use an old term?
To use a very old term, yes. But that is what I was referred to as then and what I am referred to as now. Mm-hmm. Before the torrid romance.
Tell me about this. I mean, is it okay? Can we broach the subject of your...
of my divorce?
Yes, yeah. Is that all right?
Yes, it was doomed from the start, if I must admit. It was I was quite young when I got married.
How, because you're quite young now, you're only 34 years old. So how old were you when you got married?
Scandalously young.
Well, and what would that be like?
Eight.
Oh my God, that is a scandal.
It was scandalous. I was young and it was arranged.
Was it in this country?
Yes, unfortunately.
What in the world were you, again, I'm sorry to ask these probing questions. Was this a cult of some kind?
Well, it was, I was not a member of the cult, but the husband and my father, dearly departed father, were indeed, that's where they met.
Wait, that's where your father?
Met my temporary husband, yes.
Okay, and how much older was he than you, Harmony?
Well, at that point in time, it was at the height of his stardom. So he was in his mid-20s, I would say.
I'm hooked on a word, Bob. You? Stardom?
Yes, yes.
Yes.
It was a fleeting stardom, I would say, and no doubt because of our scandalous marriage. But he did rise to the heights during my 8-year-old years, during the 80s, yes, so...
You call the year of your 8-year-olds, you call that your 80s?
No. This was the 80s. I was an 8-year-old. I call that my 8.
I see.
My 8 took place during the 80s, as did my 7, 6, 5, 4.
I'm laughing, but this is not, I assume this is not funny to you, Harmony.
It wasn't funny at the time, but I've since made peace with it.
And do we know this gentleman?
I don't keep track with everyone in your phone, Dex, but I assume that you have seen his movies.
Do we get to guess who this person is?
If you that would prefer that, that would make it sort of a game, I suppose.
This is a movie star?
He appeared in movies, yes, TV.
Okay, Bob, first guess. Just throw something out.
Somebody who was in his 20s in the 80s, who was also in Flatbush. I'm stumped. This is a real stump, the panel.
Well, was he in Flatbush? I'm just going to opening bid Adam Sandler.
No, I'm sorry. No, he's a far more serious man. He would have beaten Sandler to a pulp.
Oh, Spike Lee.
No. Although, you know.
Are you all right, Harmony?
Oh, the memories are fond of that time. He's not Spike Lee, but he did appreciate athletics the same way that Spike does. He was quite a strong man.
A strong man who was in movies.
Spike might have sat ringside for one of his major movie fights.
Wait, fights?
Oh, yes. Movie fights.
Movie fights. Boy, Harmony, we might have to call the game off. You might just have to tell us who this is.
I was married to Mr. T.
Oh, is that where he's from?
He spent some time there during that. How do you think? You don't just ascend to that level of stardom. He was working at a bouncer, yes, in Flatbush, and then he joined my father's cult, and next thing you know, we're married at the age of 8, and he was 27.
Wow, that is fascinating. You know, the only thing I know about, I don't know a lot about Mr. T, but I really enjoyed his cereal when I was in college. Did you have any of his cereal? Did he serve that up? Did he bake that cereal for you while you were married?
Yes, that was the sort of thing that I enjoyed eating as an 8-year-old before I knew any better about diet. But yes, he received lots of complimentary cereal for signing the contract. And so it was always about, we were sort of embarrassed by it. It's hard to open the shelves and see your face staring down at you from a box of cereal, but I didn't think anything of it. Of course, I was 8, as we've covered.
I can only imagine.
Was it Mr. T cereal, or was it something sort of punny like Fruities?
No. It was Mr. T cereal.
It was flat out Mr. T cereal.
Yeah, yep. It was Pee-wee's Big Adventure. It's where we've all seen that cereal. It just brings a flutter to my heart when I rewatch that scene.
Now, I don't want to bring up a painful subject, but when you got into sort of marital spats, Did he call you a fool and did he pity you?
He did. He did. Oh, God. He would call me a fool, but he would quickly come around as I retreated to my room and sucked my thumb and held my blanket. He would come pity me outside the door. Oof. And you know, he issued that as a threat often, that he would pity the fool. But to me, it was very comforting to feel his pity as the titular fool.
Oh, Harmony. Look, this is fascinating stuff. And I've never met an ex-wife of Mr. T. I've never met
T,
an ex-wife.
I just called him T.
T, of course. Yes. Of any bouncer at all. But if you call him T, does Ice ever show up? And is there any confusion?
No, Ice-T was in a very different cult. They were rival cults. It was sort of an East Coast, West Coast thing.
Sure. Wow. your voice got a little, well, never mind. Your voice is your voice. Who am I to say?
It was dangerously glicking for a moment.
That's
there.
What I was going to say.
Dangerously glicking was one of the titles of one of my many novels.
Harmony,
I was using that as a segue, yes.
Harmony, let's get to your books.
Thank you.
Fascinating thing. We're a book podcast, and that's what we mostly want to talk about.
I'm vaguely aware of your podcast. Thank you.
Mr. T, I am not aware of his output of literature. I'm sure there is something out there, but I don't know anything.
He cut
about
me
it.
Out of his autobiography. I was very disappointed to see that, but I do understand from the public relations standpoint.
What is, do you know the title of his autobiography?
Yeah, Gold Chains and All.
That's it?
Yes, he's, you know, because he comes to the party and tells his story, Gold Chains and All.
Wow, that's a terrible title. You should have gotten in there.
It did not spell well.
Because you have good titles. So why don't you tell us a little bit about your books, and I'm sure that Bob will be interested in that.
Created a epic series of fantasy novels. Some call them fan fiction. I do not approve of that term, but they are a fantasy world where the minifigs of the Lego universe interact with the Playmobil people. Playmobil, of course, the poor man's Lego. In this world, however, they are not the poor man's Lego. They are find themselves on equal footing with the Lego minifig, and torrid romances bloom despite the hatred that the two races tend to exhibit for each other based on centuries of ingrained hatred and propaganda.
Is that your elevator pitch?
Yes, it's
okay, because we went from floor 2 to 20 and I still don't know. Now I'm going to ride back down and try it again.
Do you not think that the centuries of ingrained hatred and racism is a good elevator pitch?
No, I think that's great. I think that
who doesn't like that?
Yes. No, I think that anyone snaps that up immediately. But just a couple questions. Minifigs?
Yes. Yes. You might know them as Lego Man, or as you probably refer to them, Legos.
Oh, I did not know that. So that's a thing. Minifigs.
Yes, they're the Lego characters with the cute little feet and the head that you can detach, and then there are the Playmobil people who dwarf the minifigs in their toy size. And that does prove to be a sticking point throughout the century war that they engage in my novels.
So Bob and I were talking earlier about, this is fascinating, we had talked about the cookies, the Hydrox and the Oreo. And then there is the Playmobil and the Legos.
Sure.
So
very much the Hydrox of this universe. And that's where some of the resentment comes from, or some of the bloodshed is rooted in.
What I'm wondering, though, is since you're talking about mini figs, is there a fig cookie that isn't a Fig Newton that's a downgrade, just to kind of draw it into a big circle? And just
Wagon
kind of
Wheel makes a perfectly serviceable
wagon
fig
wheel.
Cookie.
Okay, there we go. All right. Yes. Wagon Wheel fig cookies. Or is it a fig substitute?
Yes. Well, okay. You know, figs are very popular in the Middle East. Jesus once cursed a fig tree, so they're...
That's true. That's true.
They do... eat figs in the butcher below me.
So does that mean the mini figs are cursed?
The mini figs, in the book 3, there is a curse that spans the entire that section of the trilogy.
Harmony, these are supposed to be mini podcasts, so we do want to move on. We want to talk a little bit about your cats.
Oh,
it looks from your photo that you have cats. Are those all the cats that you have?
No. My cats are abundant.
How many would you say that you have total?
Well, ever since I divorced T, I swore off romantic encounters. So,
really? Forever?
Well, yes, that has been my vow.
You're young and spry, and from the photo, you look like, you know, eminently marriable material, if I may say so. I'm sorry to be so forward. I'm married myself.
Hesitation before marriable there, I detected.
No, none at all.
Well, no, it is, though I made the vow.
I just didn't want to bite my palm and go, I'm trying to back off from that stuff that got me in trouble when I was younger.
Is that something that they are doing as a method of courtship these days? I have not left this apartment in a couple months.
I'm sorry. I got you off your cats.
Go on with your cats. Though I had a torrid romance that may last me a lifetime, it is not enough to suppress my lustful thoughts. And though I do have sworn a vow not to engage in any romantic activity, I do take it upon myself to adopt a new cat every time I have a lustful thought. So,
oh my goodness. And so how many cats do you have?
I have approximately 34 at this moment.
So let's see, doing the math, since mm-hmm. you have the lustful thought started at what? You were divorced at 9?
I was divorced at 9, yes. It was a torrid relationship. We were married for 8 months.
Okay, so it was one per year of your life, but probably, did Mr. T and you, did your late husband, he's still alive.
He's still very much alive.
Did your husband and have the cats while you were married?
No, the cats started once the lustful thoughts started once I had divorced him.
I see. And so,
and the cats have since died off. I have not had a mere 34 lustful thoughts in my life, please.
Oh, I'm sorry. How many cat skeletons would you say you have in your hoarding home?
I dispatched with the cats once I had done to the butcher below me.
Wait, what?
Yes, we have an arrangement.
Good heavens.
They pay me in wagon wheel cookies and then they dispose of the body. I don't question how they do that. I assume you seem to think that they are selling them to their customers, where I just assume that they have a method of disposing of rotten meat.
Ooh, Bob, I'm going to take a second. Why don't you talk to Harmony for a second? I got to step off camera. Hang on.
Yeah, that took a turn.
If you have a better method of getting rid of cat corpses, they are beloved to me during the time, but once they have departed this realm, I don't have any use for them anymore.
So in total, how many cats would you say you've had since your nuptials came to an end?
289.
That's...
Oh, good heavens.
But when you break that down, that's less than... That's practically like one per year. One thought per every 3 months per year.
And do the thoughts come up while you're writing your books? Like, is there a little bit of, sauciness in there?
Well,
a little bleriana here and there, if you know what I'm saying?
I assume you're referring to the Albanian princess by that very name.
Yes,
I'm not sure
how that
relates to. But no. These stories are erotic as hell. it's technically an interspecies romance, though they both depict human beings, the Playmobil people and the Lego minifigs. They are very much different races from different planets, and
I'm gonna have
to adopt another cat after this.
Given the disparity in size between the minifigs and the Playmobil people, how graphic do you get in your depiction of the physicality of their romance?
Well, it all comes from personal experience, because if you imagine a 8-year-old Harmony Kraftlove and a virile in his prime T.
No, I won't imagine that. No, I won't. No. I believe it is fully illegal and is certainly not condoned by this podcast or probably any other podcast. Maybe Marin's podcast. I don't know. Who knows? Maybe Comedy Bang Bang.
Harmony, this is your life story, but it all seems dangerously close to being libelous.
It really does.
T does not listen to podcasts, I can assure you of that. He's busy living his life.
Gold chains and all.
Yeah, gold chains, exactly. That's how the books do not sell well, and I manage to live off one of the gold chains he left me. I sell a link of it every time I need to pay rent.
Well, what about, do you get any money for the cat?
No, for the cats. No. That's the wagon wheel arrangement.
Ah, right. Sorry.
Cookies, yes.
Sorry.
I mean, a dead cat isn't worth very much. So now.
Oh, man.
Especially here in Flatbush, everything's more expensive. So they're actually cutting me a pretty good deal with the cookies.
Well, I think we're going to have a disclosure form on this. You have to probably sign to listen to this quarantine mini. But Harmony, thank you so much.
It's been my pleasure.
That was fascinating stuff. Could you say that again? I just want to get the clean take on that.
Oh, it has been my pleasure, Mike.
Okay. Thank you.
And Mr. Fingerman, it's been a pleasure too. I will put this portrait up on my wall.
I'm honored.
Harmony, good luck with your books. Good luck with your cats. I mean, your ex-husband, we wish him nothing but the best. You're one of the oddest people we've ever interviewed, and I love it.
All right. Thank you.
Good day, I get a gentlemen. Clean take of that as well? I want to get that clean.
Good day, gentlemen.
Good day. So long. Good day.